welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Sun Chaser by Carol Britton Chambers. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Sun Chaser is a grade 2 on the Texas PML. It is a challenging grade 2. It's about 5 minutes in length. It goes through a myriad of keys. It starts in the key of B flat.
That's a great word there.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my summer. Keep the language up. It starts in the key of concert B flat, goes to concert F, concert E flat, and then finishes in concert F. It has a bunch of different time signatures, 4-4, 2-4, 3-4. So you need to be, like, your kids need to be comfortable with all of that. Split clarinet parts, split trumpet parts. You can do this with 5 percussionists, though if you have more, you could divide some parts up. But you could do it with as few as 5 percussionists. I love the way Carol Britton Chambers writes.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. As always, the melodies are going to be catchy. Kids are going to like it. But there is some meat and some challenge.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. All the slow lyrical sections are more challenging than they look.
Yeah, definitely.
Your students will get the parts and go, oh, you know, no problem. Got this. But then when you start putting it together, it's really difficult to make it sound mature. If your kids don't have a lot of experience with the lyrical style playing.
Right.
So if you were going to program this piece for like UIL or something like that earlier in the year for your winter concert or your fall concert, you should absolutely play something with lyrical sections. So that way your students have already talked with you about, you know, phrasing.
That's
and,
right.
You know, leading through long notes, making sure you this person breathes here, I breathe here, those sorts of little things. So
intonation, you know, tendencies
chords,
when
yes.
you're talking about playing softer or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So also, you know, this is, I feel like it's 5 minutes. The piece is 5 minutes mm-hmm. in length and at least half of it is lyrical.
Yeah.
You know.
And the fast, catchy part comes back and it's the same thing at the end, which is nice because you don't have to reteach that necessarily. But the lyrical spots are meaty enough that your kids have to be pretty mature to play it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it starts off with just percussion. There is an optional piano part, which I was saying to Laura would be totally cool if you had like a bassoonist in your band who could play the piano. They could get up and play the piano just for like the first 6 measures. Then they could go and sit down and play bassoon for the rest of the piece because the piano part does not come back. So if you are willing to do that, cool. If you don't have anybody that plays piano or you don't have a percussionist that plays, that it is also fine to play it on the vibraphone. And
when
the vibe
we played
part
it,
does
that's
come
what
back.
We did. Yeah. We played it on vibes.
Yeah, and the vibe part comes back over and over and is very important in this piece. So that would be totally acceptable. So it's just the vibes or piano at the beginning. Then you've got like little wind chime effects, little triangle dings, and some bells. The bells
slow tempo, 76.
Very slow, yep. The bells come in and have like a little moment. And it's just back and forth between those two mallet instruments. Then in measure 3, on beat 3, the lower voices come in and it's mezzo piano. So they have to have a really good breath. And then they have
start
to sneak
together
in
with their
and
tongue.
Play, yes, and play soft when they first come in with no bump. And that is something that, you know, younger bands have to practice doing really well to make it be effective. Then the rhythms change. The low, low voices like tuba and Barry have a change on beat 4, whereas the tenor voices like trombone, euphonium, and there are cues for like tenor sax and Barry sax. They change on beat 3. So we've got a lot. And she writes like this often where one grouping changes on 3, one grouping changes on 4. So you want to make sure you can hear those different changes.
Now, I like that it's kind of thinly scored here, but she's put cues and parts so mm-hmm. you can kind of play with the texture to fit your ensemble. Mm-hmm. But I think throughout the entire lyrical, every lyrical section in this, what Katie was just talking about just ensuring there's transparency when notes are moving, mm-hmm. like I think that is what is
makes
what
it
makes yes what makes it difficult and yeah. to hear all of those chord tones come through.
Yep. Then we kind of have the same thing, and then at measure 7 the trumpets and clarinets come in with a melody, and the trumpet 2 and 1, as Laura mentioned, are split, so they are different. And same with clarinet 2 and 1. So they're kind of doubled each other. The saxes come in as well now.
And if you didn't have them before,
mm-hmm. On the cues. Yep, on a little counter melody. And then finally, the upper woodwinds add in. We're just kind of building and building, adding more voices. And then we're building to a full band chord at 11. And then the lows come in on beat 3 with an accent. So it's like, you know, kind of like marching band-esque. 1, 3, and then you hold the chord. And the chord is 6 beats because it changes time signature. So you're holding it even longer. The timpani starts roll, or not timpani, bass drum and suspended cymbal mm-hmm. start rolling to make it be more exciting. And then an immediate key change and tempo change.
And style change. So
yeah.
Right at 14, we land, we're in 3/4 time, and it starts with percussion. So
and we're in E flat.
And the key change to E flat, that's right. So percussion starts, and they're establishing the pulse. We go from basically double time. We go from 72 to 154, whatever. Yeah. So we've doubled, you know, we've sped the tempo mm-hmm. up by twice.
Yep.
So we start right at the 3/4, and the vibes are laying down the time for you. 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2 and 3 and. So they're establishing that pulse, which I think is really smart. And she does, you know, she writes well, really like that. So the whole ensemble isn't having to transition this tempo together, but you want to make sure that your vibe player is locked in.
However, the whole ensemble does eventually, the eighth note, ostinato, does come in and continues going in the upper woodwinds. So you have to teach everybody to be way soft on that part because
right.
they're just functioning as the metronome.
And I would find the mallet choice that you want on vibraphone that you want your wind players to imitate.
Mm-hmm.
And then make them listen to that sound and, okay, that's the articulation that we're trying to match.
Yeah.
Because this happens several times in here, and we want to make sure the articulation between the upper woodwinds and the vibes, you know, matches to the best of their ability. In the first clarinet part, when they come in and measure 18 with these eighth notes, and trumpets come in at 18 with the melody, this is the first time we've heard this cool little melody in 3/4. But the first clarinets are on a top line F, staccato eighth notes at 156 BPM. So you know automatically that's not going to sound great unless your clarinet players, you know, can play with a really good sound. So like that is something I would... It's in octaves in the clarinets right there. So just
have
pick
them
your
all
one
play.
Player.
Yeah.
Pick
yeah.
your one player that sounds really great on that register F.
Or nobody. I mean, honestly, you wouldn't be able to tell because the flutes are on the upper B flat and the oboes are an octave below as well, the flutes. So you could do the same with the flutes. You know, if they are just sharp or something up above the staff, you could just pull some of them down. So again, like Laura said, do whatever works for your band. The trumpets have the melody alone. You need to have a solid trumpet section for this piece and I think a bigger trumpet section because the melody happens in just the trumpets often.
Yeah.
And with a lot of other stuff happening, so they need to be able to project and play well. So
I love
melody
the little melodic
cute.
Theme.
Yeah. It's got a little syncopation, like two little dotted quarters. And it's very stylistic. So it's written specifically to play all the eighth notes lifted, but then to keep everything else really long and connected. So you got to kind of teach that from the beginning for the whole group. Then the melody goes to clarinet and trumpet at 26, and then the lows come in and they have just like a little background part, but they have to play light and quiet. And that's what I remember when we played this. It was difficult for the band at the time to balance to the melody because everybody else does not have the melody. It's just clarinet and trumpet. And so you got to teach your kids to like play soft and crispy and really underneath those important voices.
And then I also think the challenge in this is that because those players, like, you know, Katie addressed what's happening in the low voices, but in the upper woodwinds, basically they are all playing different rhythms that come out to be 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2 and 3 and when you put it all together, mm-hmm. but they're playing, you know, the saxes are different from the bassoons or different from the flutes or different from the oboes. And so I think kids can get so caught up in
the
what is my rhythm uh-huh, that uh-huh. they disregard volume or style at all. And that's when it starts to become noisy.
Yep.
So
I agree.
Just building confidence and, you know, like beating the part into their head
yeah.
so that you
when
that,
you put it together, it's not going to sound like, oh, what is happening here?
Exactly.
As Laura said, it should just sound like straight up eighth notes, but she made it be a little bit more challenging to where like the flutes play one, two, one, two, and three, and two, three, and one, two, and three. And then like bassoon has one and three and one and three, one, one and, I assume.
Yeah.
Have to turn the page. Yeah. So that's tricky when you're
and then the low voice is one and rest, 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 two, three. Like it's everybody's just.
Yeah, you got to be able to count and keep it the same sounding the whole time. And you're going to have to work on that accompaniment a lot. Mm-hmm. Like just keeping it fast, short,
light.
In tempo, and light.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and soft. Like it's kind of tricky. So we just talked about it for a long time. Hopefully y'all
and then
get
more
it.
Percussion adds in, which just adds to that noise factor. So, mm-hmm. I mean, just in this whole section right here as it builds in.
You got to listen
sure
to trumpet
and
clarinet.
Yep. That's it.
And they finish out the melody and then we all kind of stop. And then clarinet two comes in with like the new little melodic theme. Two, three, one. And then now we're like less rhythmic and we're more flowing. So the mallet, the vibes, I guess. Yes, mm-hmm. The vibes have the melody at 38, or not the melody, but they have the cool part that
they
the
woodwinds
just
have.
They have
the cool little rhythmic
ostinato. One, two, and three, and two, three, and one, two, and three. So
I think that's... horns are really the lead voice.
Oh, for sure. Here. Horn and clarinet.
Horn,
yeah.
Clarinet, alto.
And sax, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's obviously it's horn and clarinet, too, mm-hmm. and saxophones that come in at 38. So horn should be the focal point for sure. And again, it's very flowy. In measure 41, there's a rhythm that goes one, two, rest on three, and you come back in on the and. Be sure that your kids don't clip beat two.
Yeah.
So it goes one, 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 two, three, one, two, and one. So you have to be sure that the beat two is long and not one, two.
They're going to make
one.
It sound like a hiccup.
They will. Yep. So keeping that note is important, and it comes back over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And so just make sure that the students know that.
Consistency
yep.
in that.
And then the lows kind of just have, when they've come in, they have chords underneath that melody. You know, just making sure that everything's locking in the key of E flat. Lots of C's and D's above the staff and trombone, so making sure that that's in tune as well. And then the trumpets come in and we go back to that other style. So we had the flowing for a moment. Now we're kind of back to the melody. It's still the same melody, but now the ostinato short style is back in
those crisp
from everybody
eighth
else.
Notes again.
Yeah. So we're passing eighth notes back and forth between different instruments. So just making sure. And I remember when we played this, we literally just said no melody. Everybody just... you know, like making sure that we can stay in time with no metronome, you know, it's tricky.
It is.
Yeah. And keeping it short the whole time, as Laura already mentioned, is so key.
They get lazy the longer they play.
So long. Yeah. Yeah. And this piece is long. It's 5 minutes. So you got to make sure you're really thinking about that. The low people get to have like kind of a cool little part. At measure 54, and then everybody else is quieter underneath them. 58, we're back to the trumpet and clarinet having the melody, and we're back to the same.
Exactly the same as what we had before.
Yeah,
exactly
the part where we have
same.
To make mm-hmm. sure we're listening to the melody. And then lows kind of take over at 66 for a moment. And we're kind of thinning out. We're getting
prepping
softer.
Prepping for the new lyrical section.
Yep, yep. So everybody kind of has moments where they're coming in and out. And then we end with like just basically flute, horn, alto, bassoon, and trombone. So they're holding a long note and we change key. And then we go straight into clarinet melody. And now we're doing like B naturals, F sharps. So that, you know, marking your parts for your kids is kind of nice for them.
That key from E-flat to F, mm-hmm. That's a big change,
yeah.
right? So, and it and there's no, like, fermata, regroup. Mm-mm. This is just immediate. So,
yep.
Making sure that you've helped prep the kids. This section right here, I think, is absolutely
so
beautiful. But you have to have, there is no percussion going on.
Nope.
So, the pulse is all happening in the wind players. The melody is in the clarinet. The counter melody is in the alto saxophone. And it is just the clarinet family and saxophone family minus barry sax that is playing right here. It's
you gotta
that
have
exposed.
A bass clarinet. You gotta have a bass clarinet.
Yes. That is the only bass voice in this little choir right here. So this, now it does have some eighth notes, but this we've dropped back down. We're at 76 BPM. We are back to 4/4 time, and then we have the new key change. This needs to sound as rich and lush as possible. That beautiful reed sound that you're going to get in your clarinets and saxophones. Phrasing, like, make it as musical as possible. I think the reference recording online, like, that you can just look up on YouTube, I think does a really nice job of phrasing through this little middle section here. But it's very exposed. When we get to measure 79, now we are adding in more people. The flutes are coming in. Horns and altos now take over what I would really consider the more important part. We add in bells as well. So clarinets and saxes are still doing what they did before, but now we have this counter, or sorry, yes, clarinets and saxes, but now the horns are joining the counter melody, and flutes come in with another really interesting little part, slightly faster. We've heard the clarinet, so now I would put that in the background and bring out the flute horn.
Yeah, yep. And then, and the flute part is very doodly for this tempo, and it's above the staff. So it could probably be a little bit much if you have a large flute section, so you might want to consider having only part of the section play, just so it's not so screamy over everything else. The bells part is really important. It even says play it on rubber mallets. So just make
and
sure
that
you...
And it's not the same as the flute.
No, like, it's its own part. Yep. And then again, as Laura said, making sure you hear different chord changes that are happening here. Everybody's changing on different beats. You want to make sure you can hear all of those when you're looking at the score. You want to be able to hear what you see. If you see the quarter note, you need to be able to hear that. And then you hear eighth notes after that, and then more eighth notes. So just making sure that what you see on the score is what is happening in front of you. Then the horn and sax have this cool little part in 84. The clarinets kind of take it over, some little eighth notes, and then at 86, the trumpets and flutes take it over. And then there's a slight accelerando through the eighth notes. We're just going up 4 more beats. So we're kind of accelerandoing very slowly.
Yes. Now, this measure right here, measure 86, before going into 87, this part right here, the accelerando measure, Katie's talking about 1, 2, and 3, and 4. It has a quarter note on beat 4 instead of eighth notes. What your kids are going to want to do is take a breath.
And rush it.
Yeah, they're going to want to go 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 1. And there's a big crescendo underneath it as well. It goes from mezzo piano to forte. So we absolutely do not want to take a breath there. But just know that's going to be what they want to
do. And marking my parts, I would draw an arrow between those two measures and put an NB in everything, like, just to make sure you understand you do not get to breathe.
No breath there.
And I would make sure they know where to breathe before that. Like, clarinet one can breathe after the quarter note in 86, the first quarter note. Clarinet two can breathe between the two half notes, etc. So you can kind of look around, and if you mark those breath marks for them and not just say don't breathe here, but say here's where you are going to breathe.
That
helps the students. So we're at 87. The trumpet part goes a little higher here too, by the way. It goes up to high F sharp, the trumpet one part, and then we've got like E and D. So this can be a little bit of a tuning issue if your kids struggle with that a little bit. The flutes are up on upper D above the staff. Clarinets are on, you know, fourth space E. So this could be a tuning issue here. This big moment where everybody's forte, we're all playing half notes that are tenuto marked, and then we're playing everything really long. It's kind of like more decisive of a part. I don't know. That's the word that comes to mind for me. I told my students to tongue a little firmer in measure 88, because it's like got this cool horn and sax part. 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1. So that part's really neat. Just bringing that out. Again, they're not trying to accent or play like short. They're keeping everything long and connected since we're in the lyrical section. Then the trombones, euphoniums, tuba, low reeds have a little response. One and three and four and one.
And that needs to be
and there's
really
no
firm.
Ritardando. Yeah. We both sang one. Sorry. But they need to tongue that really firmly. Then the horns and altos have another little response. Then we're going to do a little bit of a, it's like a modulation sort of. We go into having D flats in euphonium, A flat in horn. Everybody's got accidentals
here.
Then we reach the peak, the pinnacle, and we all change on different beats. So
it's like
at
a
measure
it's like
96. Yeah, it's like... Yeah, it is. It's like bell tones. So I would bop 93. I don't know why I just said 86. I'm sorry. 93. I would bop 93 quite often to make sure you can hear all the different parts. And when the kids come in on a long note, treat it like a forte piano.
Yep.
It's already marked to decrescendo as you're holding anyway. So just make sure that whenever you see the decrescendo, you're really quiet on that long note. It's different for every single part. So you'd have to like... write that in for the kids or teach it that way. Because what we're trying to do is we're thinning back out again. We're getting softer.
And there's a ritardando.
Yes.
So like it slows down here as well. So, I mean, another reason I think that bopping is really important, just locking in the timing so everybody feels really comfortable with it.
Now we're back down to 76 and we have that same little
clarinet,
kinda like
sax.
Clarinet sax melody with the horn joined in. We do have low people
yep.
on a different part now. And they
which
have
half
new. Notes descending. Mm-hmm. Which is really pretty. So like lead through those, crescendo down. And then we kind of end it again and go straight back to the same thing we had before. So
it's a recap of the...
It's just a recap of the 3-4 fast part in E flat.
The difference is the melody starts in the flute.
Yep.
So instead of it being in trumpet like it was before, the melody starts in the flute. And you want to ensure that the flute style matches the style that the trumpets set up at the beginning of the piece.
Yep. And then everybody comes back in, trumpets come back in with the melody with the clarinets. And then at 111, the flutes go back to their 1, 2, and 4, one, a, dun, or not 4, but y'all remember the part I was talking about before where they kind of all
clarinets and trumpets
have
the melody.
Yep.
Now. Yep.
Keeps going. We get to 121. It's the same thing as before. The vibes have a little special part. Timpani has a cool part. Horn and sax and clarinet have the melody.
Just like earlier.
Just like the beginning. I don't think there's much different except that sometimes the trumpets are not the melody in this second time around and they're more of the background part with the eighth notes. There's a full band mezzo piano at 137 where everybody gets softer. And then we lead up, and it's all eighth notes except for the lows. So, gosh, keeping that
same
style all the way through is hard. Then we have the melody again at 141, same people, clarinet and trumpet. And then we kind of finish this all the way to the end. Yep, the lows get the last moment of glory. 1, 2, and 1, 2. And it's D flat. So make sure they're in tune on that. And then 1, 2, 3, and 1. So the whole band ends on, you know, a ta or a tone
mm-hmm.
last accented quarter note. So it's definitely a hard grade two, as Laura already said at the beginning.
I think it looks easier on paper than it is to
actually execute it. Yeah.
But great music.
That's
kids
beautiful.
Will love it.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to go back to one thing Katie said earlier. Like if it is something you're looking at programming in the spring, make sure that you're planning ahead and prepping your kids in the fall semester for the skills that they're going to need to have. Don't wait until the spring to teach them those skills. You need to lay that foundation earlier in the year.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Band BFFs.